Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is the last daf from the Masechet Tainis. Tainis daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on top of daf Lamed Amid Beis, I believe. Have we got Amid Beis? No, the bottom of daf Lamed Amid Aleph. We are holding. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Friends of the Beach Minyan, Lizchusser for Shlema for Aryeh David Alevi, Ben Yehud the Shira. It's also sponsored by the virtual Halacha program, which under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level whenever you can, wherever you are. Visit vhalacha.com for more information. It's also sponsored by Ron Markovitz, Lizchusser for Shlema for Miriam Bas Pesio Yocheved, and also in honor of the entire Daf Chevra, I'm being Messiah Maseches Tainus. Let's hope we're Messiah Maseches Tainus. So let's get started. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So again, we are holding on the bottom of Daf, Lamed Amid Aleph, I think where we left off. Someone can tell me maybe we left off at the two dots, I assume, right? Yeah, Loyochal Bas Veloyishta Yayin, four lines up from the bottom of the page. So we had said in the Mishnah, Loyochal Bas Veloyishta Yayin Tana, Avalochalu Basa Maliach, that if you're eating salted meat that's been sitting in salt for some time, then you're allowed to eat. It doesn't have so much taste, and you're allowed to eat it because it doesn't have a shame basar. I imagine some type of beef jerky or something. Veshosi Yayin Migito, and a person is allowed to drink wine that has not fermented. That is just pressed grapes and is therefore not considered fine wine. It's only going to damage a person and it hurts a person's stomach. So the Gemara explains, basa maliach, when we say that you're allowed to eat, for the Sudam Hafsekis we're talking about, that you're allowed to eat basa maliach, ad kama, how many days does it have to be sitting in salt for it to be considered basa maliach? So Amravchina Barkanim, Shmei Deshmuel, calls manchu hu kishlamim, meaning since, just like a korban shlamim is eaten for 2 days and one night, so basa that's put in salt for less than 3 days is not called basar maliach. It's just called basar stam, and you're not allowed to eat it. But once it's already been salted for 3 days, then it loses its shem basar because its tam becomes nifsal. Its tam is no good anymore, and that's and you're allowed to eat it even for the sudam of sekes. The yayin migito, we said is not called wine. Ad kama, how long is it called yayin migito that you're allowed to drink it at the sudam of sekes? Calls manchu toses, as long as it's still toses, as long as it's as long as it's still what's toses? It still has like bubbling at the top. So tani yayin toses ein bo mishum gilui. That yayin toses is also not subject to the isra of gilui. That if you leave it at night without covering it, it doesn't become usr from being left exposed, because you don't have to worry that maybe a nachash drank from it, because we're choshesh that when you have normal wine that and you have other mashkim that you leave uncovered, that a nachash may have drunk from it, and therefore it becomes aser if it's left uncovered overnight. But a nachash is not going to drink it, calls manchu toses, and to the contrary, the nachash is when he sees that it looks like it's bubbling, he's gonna avoid it. The kametsi saso, how long after you squeeze the grapes is it still called toses? Shloshi yamim, for 3 days. So we see that the gabi sudam of sekes, when we say that you're allowed to drink yayin migito, it means for the first three days after it's nischat, after the grapes have been squeezed. The minhag of Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai was as follows: Erev Tishbav mevin lo pascha reva b'melach, and Erev Tishbav they would bring him for the sudam amafsekes coarse bread with salt, the yoshev, and he would sit in between the oven and the stove, a place that was a makom menuvo. It's a place where people who were held captive used to be forced to sit. Meaning that's the idea of bein tanur v'kirayim, that it was a very very non-respectful place to be seated. So he would sit between the tanur v'kirayim, va'ochel v'shosa la kiton. shalmayim, and he would eat the pas b'melech, and he would drink a pitcher of water. V'dome k'misha meso mutal lefanav, and he had so much sar when he was eating that when you looked at the way he reacted to the churban habayis, it's as if he had just lost a close relative. Tanan hasam, the Mishnah says meseches pesachim. Makom shagul lasos melacha b'tishbav osin. Makom shagul shlo lasos ein osin. A place where they have a minhag to do melacha on Tisha B'Av, so you're allowed to do melacha. A place where the minhag is that they don't do melacha on Tisha B'Av, ain't osin, you're not allowed to do melacha. Or b'chal makom, tamidei chacham b'telim. But wherever you are, tamidei chacham don't do melacha, even a place where they do melacha on Tisha B'Av, but tamidei chacham don't do melacha on Tisha B'Av. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, liolam yasa kol adam atzmo ketamid chacham. A person should always make himself like a Talmud Chacham in this regard, and he should not do melacha on Tisha B'Av. Tanya nami yachi, and we have a price that supports this. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, liolam yasa adam atzmo ketamid chacham, kidei sheyisane, that a person should always make himself a Talmud Chacham so that he will be Misana in the first Tainios on the rains, that we're only Talmidei Chacham are Misana, so he should make himself like a Talmud Chacham in that sense. Tanya Idach, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says in another Brisa, Kol Ochel V'Shose B'Tishba, if anyone who eats and drinks on Tishba, Kilu Ochel V'Shose B'Yom HaKippurim, it's as if he is eaten and drunk on Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Ochel Melacha B'Tishba, Eino roa simin bracha liolam. That anyone who does melach on Tisha B'Av is never going to see a simin bracha forever from that melacha that he's done on Tisha B'Av. Tosos writes that melacha that he normally does on Tisha B'Av, he's not going to be that he accustoms himself to doing on Tisha B'Av, he's not going to see simin bracha. Right? Kolomar bosa melacha sharogi lasos b'Tisha B'Av eino roa simin bracha liolam. Meaning for whatever melacha he's regular to do on Tisha B'Av, that malach is never going to provide him a siman bracha. So the machsa shekel is medayek, that even though he does afterwards, he does this malacha throughout the rest of the year, he's not going to see the siman bracha even from the malacha that he does the rest of the year, as long as it's the same malacha he did on Tisha B'Av. The Eliyahu Rabbah writes, it's quoted in the Mishnah Brura, that from the money that he's marviach with that malacha, he's not going to see a siman bracha. And the Magen Avraham quotes from the Rif, the Rosh and the Tur, that even is not going to be a simon bracha liolam. Meaning, this is not a matter of having violated an avera. We said makom shenagu lasos that you're allowed to be osa, that you're allowed to do. But the idea is, but nevertheless, it's still not going to provide a simon bracha. So very different ideas about what it means that it's not going to provide a simon bracha. Is it that now you've made that malacha, that particular activity that you've just done, something that will never provide a simon bracha, or is it no? You just think you're going to get ahead of the game a little bit by doing malacha on Tisha B'Av, and it's not going to happen that way. You're not going to see a siman bracha from that money, but it doesn't affect anything for the rest of the year. It doesn't affect anything for the malacha that you do throughout the rest of the year. Right? So different possibilities that you have in the poskim. So says the Brisa further. Someone who does malacha on Tisha B'Av and is thereby not being misabled properly in Yerushalayim is not going to benefit to see the simcha of Yerushalayim lost the love of Shneamar. Simcha is Yerushalayim v'gilu b'kalav avel sisu osam esos kalav misabel malel. So mikan amruf, based on that, they said kalav misabel Yerushalayim is zochav rov b'simchasa. Anyone who's actually properly misabel on Yerushalayim is going to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. But on the flip side, v'she'enu misabel Yerushalayim ain't a robe is some chasa. Tanya namiyachi, kalocha basa vishosi yayin b'Tisha B'Av. We have a brisa that anyone who eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'Av, Alava Kasvomer, Vati Avonosam Al Atzmosam, that their averos are on their bones in a very literal sense. When one eats, they're nourishing their flesh, and the flesh is on our bones. So a person is it's their avera is on their bones by eating and drinking, or dafka eating meat and drinking wine on Tisha B'Av. The Tisha B'Av itself, all achil v'shtiyah obviously is aser. So over here, it must not mean Tisha B'Av, right? Rashi writes, how can you say eating meat and drinking wine on Tisha B'Av? Eating anything on Tisha B'Av. So that's what Rashi writes. It must be referring to Erev Tisha B'Av, at the Sudam of Sekes. Marzchai says the Hechrich is, because why else would it talk about eating meat and drinking wine? So it must be that the reference is to Erev Tisha B'Av. So the Rabbeinu Chananel explains that his Averus are Chakukim al Atzmosav, that they're like engraved on his on his bones. That it's not just referring to the flesh that grows on his bones. It becomes it's as if it's like encoded on his bones that he's done this avera. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'kfiyah samita. Then we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda requires kfiyah samita, that on Tisha B'Av you have to turn the bed over, flip it over, and sleep on the on the reverse side of the bed, or sleep on the karka. When you do kfiyah samita. So Tanya, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, so v'lo hod l'cham rather, and the Cham did not agree. They hold that there is no chiyuv of kfiyah samita on Tisha B'Av. So Tanya, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, the Cham said to Rabbi Yehuda, lidvarecha, according to you that you chayv in kfiyah samita, ubarus u'menikos, pregnant women, nursing women, they're not able to sleep on the ground, they're not able to sleep low to the ground like that. Matay alein, what should they do? Some of them, afanilo amarti elo biyachal. I didn't say that pregnant women should be doing that. I only said that there's a chiv of kfiyah samita if you're able to sleep on the ground. But someone who's not able to sleep like that, like a pregnant woman or a nursing woman, of course is not going to be chayv in kfiyah samita. So tani nami yachi, mod Rabbi Yehuda l'cham b'sheinu yachal. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the chamim when a person is not able to do so, like ubros and minikos, that they're not going to be chayiv in kfiyah samita. The modem chum the Rabbi Yehuda biyachal, and the chum mar mod Rabbi Yehuda that if one is able to sleep on the karka, that they are chayiv in kfiyah samita. So it says, well, wait a second. You say that there's machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the chabim, but then you're going to tell me each one admits to the other in one case or the other, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda is mod to the chacham when it's ain't yachal, the chum mar mod to Rabbi Yehuda when it's yachal. So what's left for them to argue about? So shar mitos. What they argue about is the din of all the other mitos in the house. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mechayev, who's a Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're chayiv in kfiyas amita, if you're yachal, it means that you have to be kofa not only the mita of that person, but all of the mita, not only the mita that's being used, but all the mitos in the house, even the ones that you're not sleeping on. Whereas the Chum hold that even someone who's able to do kfiyas amita only has to be kofa mita so, but he doesn't have to be kofa all of the mitos in the house. Kiditanya kishar melichpas amita v'lo mitos b'vanu kofa el kol mitos kulanu kofa. That when you do kfiyas amita, it's not only your own bed that you have to do kfiyas amita on. It's all the beds in the house that you have to do kfiyas amita on. This is what this discussion seems to be about is that you have, when you learn Hilchos Avelus, you have two categories. You have dinim of the avel, dinei avelus that relate to the avel, and then you have dinim of avelus that relate to a base avel, dinim of avelus that are not only about the avel but relate to the whole house of mourning. So if it's about the avel, so then you do kfiyas mita so, you do kfiyas amita on his bed. But if it's a din in the base avel, so then a din in the base avel, you would have to do kalamitos, all the mitos that are in the house. Where do you have such a din of a din in the base avel? So the halacha is that an avel is not allowed to learn Torah, but there's also halacha, they're not supposed to have the Talmud Torah in a base avel, that they shouldn't be learning Torah in a base avel. So you have certain things that are not only a din in an avel, but are also a din in the base avel. So kfiyas amita is really the typical example in avelus, that especially if you assume, like those acharonim that suggest that our fulfillment of kfiyas amita is by covering the mirrors, because kfiyas amita represents that we haven't properly treated the tzelem elukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That's what the Gemara says in Mar Katan, that mus yukni nasati lemu bavanoseim mefachtia, that because I've given my tzelem elukim to people and they've in their averos, they've flipped it around, therefore you have to be kofa your mita. So some acharim suggest the way we fulfill that is by covering the mirrors, because that's how we're blocking the tzelem elukim. So it's called mita shabbatoch habayis, and therefore kol mirrors shabbatoch habayis l'chora. The Gvur Sari asks that if we compare Tisha B'Av to avelos, so why according to the chamim should Tisha B'Av have a different din? Should what why should it be that by Avelus you're kofa kol mitos in the bayis, and when it comes to Tisha B'Av you're only going to be kofa the mitos that are being used? So the Gvur Sari suggests that the din kviyas amita is said by an avel because t'musti yuknin asati b'cham b'vansem ha'fachtia, like we explained. So Gemara Moed Katan Tazvav and Beis, that's only that reason is not shayach on Tisha B'Av. The time for kviyas amita on Tisha B'Av is since it's asur to sleep on a mita, you have to be kofet to your mita to make a hekel l'davar so that you don't make a mistake and sleep on a comfortable bed. Meaning it's about comfort on Tisha B'Av. It's not about the tzelem elokim. So if there would not have been a din of kviyas amita by an avel because of the reason that that we said, we would have made a different hekel on Tisha B'Av. It's only since there already is a din of kviyas amita by avelus, so in order to make a hekel that you shouldn't use your beds in the normal way, they went with a halacha that already exists. A halacha of kviyas amita, halacha that already exists in dinei avelus. Meaning we have a principle, one of the concepts that Rav Shechter loves to talk about and try to demonstrate, is that called the tikkun rabban ken daraisa tikkunum. That in typically when the rabban made their own dinim, they tried not to make things brand new. They tried to always pattern their dinim after dinim daraisa. So similarly, you have such a concept even within dinim drabbanan, that sometimes if you have an existing din drabbanan and you need to make a new din drabbanan, the din drabbanan will follow a pattern that's similar to an already existing din drabbanan. So over here, kviyas amita pashas is din drabbanan in avelus, but nevertheless, since it's an already existing din in avelus, when they're going to make this din of Tisha B'Av, they want it to be patterned after, they want it to look similar, but the yesod ha-din is different, and that's why by kviyas amita in avelus, it's kol mita shabbayis, because it's mostly yukunin asati lam, that's the basis of the din. Whereas over here, the yesod ha-din is just a reminder not to sleep on a comfortable bed. So Amar Rava, Hilchsa Ketana Didan. The Allah is like the Chacham that are mentioned in the Mishnah that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda entirely, and they don't agree that there's such a din of Kfiyas Amita, even on the Mita that you're sleeping on. And we could be Medaike from the Lashon in the Mishnah. V'lo hodlo Chachamim. Kalikr, when it says lo od lacham, it means not at all. So even though you quoted a brisa where the chachamim are modet Rabbi Yehuda, it's a different chachamim. The chachamim in our Mishnah are not modet Rabbi Yehuda at all. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara quoting the Mishnah. Amram Shimon lo hayyam tov liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av ukiyam kippurim. There were never such great days for the Jewish people like chamisha asar ba'av and yom kippurim. Two ba'av and yom kippur are the two happiest days on the Jewish calendar. So says the Gemara, bishlam yom kippur. I get that Yom Kippur is such a happy day. Mishum dispeis slicha mechila. It's the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochel the averus of Klal Yisrael. Right? What does it say in the Torah? B'chodesh Hashvi'i b'asol l'chodesh tanus nafshoseichem. Why? Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tahareschem mikol chatoseichem. So is there any greater simcha than that? To have kapara and tahara from our averus. Yom shenitnu b'luchos achronos. And it's the day that we received the second luchos after having violated the Chet Ha'egel. The Yehuda Yaakov writes that the reason we have to say both reasons why Yom Kippur is a happy day is because I forgot what he writes. But it's the day that we got the Luchos Achronos, that on the 10th day of Tishrei Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the Har with the Luchos Shnios, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying that he was mochel them and that he was and he has forgiven them for the evil that they had done. Salachti kedvarecha, so therefore became a day of kapara l'doros el chamisha asar ba'av mayhi. But what exactly happened el chamisha asar ba'av that became such a happy day? So the Gemara says that there are actually six things that happened on Chamisha Asar Ba'av that make it a happy day. Number one, Amar Rav Yudomer Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh, that it's the day that the Shvatim were allowed to marry each other again. That a man from one shevet can marry a woman from a different shevet, because initially any woman that was ra'ui for Yerusha, to get the Yerusha of her family, if she didn't have any brothers, for example, was not allowed to marry a man from a different shevet, because then the nachla, the inheritance, was going to go from her father's shevet to the other shevet, because now it's going to go in the husband's family. So they made a halacha that they're not allowed to intermarry between the shvatim. On Chamisha Asar Ba'av, the Cham came and they were matir that iser, that the shvatim are allowed to to marry each other, and therefore allowing for more shidduchim to happen, or shidduchim to happen more easily, was a day of great simcha for them, and therefore they made it a time of Yom Tov. The Marsha raises the question, wait a second, why would that be a great simcha? Meaning the Shvatim are still losing out. Meaning if I have a daughter in my Shevet and she marries out to a different Shevet, so it's still going to be Mavir Nachla. If I don't have any sons, so it's still going to be Mavir Nachla. So that Shevet loses that Nachla. So he says, that's why he says it's a day that Peros Yushlaim are Yotzos B'Klei Lovan Shu'ulim, because it's a day of Simchal and Nashim that they couldn't marry anybody except from their Shevet. But the men are able to take women Shalomi Shiftan. So it's a simcha only for the women, since the Isser was only on the women, it wasn't on the men. So for them, it was mutter to marry the people from another shevet. But the women had to didn't have this Isser. So now the women had this Isser. So now so for the women, it became a day of simcha. So my darush, how did the Chum darshan from the Pesukim to be matter this Isser? Because the pasuk says, when it comes to the taina of the Rashi Mata B'nei Yosef, that they complained to Moshe that if Benos Slavchad, who Yarshan their father, and their father died without any sons, are going to marry people from another Shevet, so the Nachla is going to go from their father's Shevet to the Shevet of the husband. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem Levnos Slavchad, that Zeh Hadavar, this is the rules for Benos Slavchad, and one of the things he said is, Achl Mishpachas Matei Aviyem Tiyana L'Nashim, that the Benos Slavchad were limited. They were only allowed to marry men from their own shevet. So davar zeh lo yehino egel b'dor zeh. This iser to marry from another shevet and the concern of being mavir nachla is only something that's going to apply in that generation of the Menos Slavchad, which is the generation of those who entered Eretz Yisrael. But once that generation is over, then there's no iser anymore. That's what they darshan, because it's zeh hadavar, that it's only this for this rule for this generation. But once that generation is over, that rule goes away as well. So that is happy thing number one that happened on Tu B'Av, that the Shvatim were allowed to marry each other. Happy thing number two that happened on Tu B'Av, Amar Rav Yosef from Rav Nachman, Yom Shuhutar Shevet Binyamin Lovo Bakal. It's the day that Shevet Binyamin was allowed to enter into Kahal Yisrael again, because after that story of Pilekesh Begiva in the end of Sefer Shoftim, where there were these people who were B'nai B'li Ya'al from Shevet Binyamin, these not good guys from Shevet Binyamin that killed this Pilekesh. So all the Shiftei Yisrael called together to Shevet Binyamin to get rid of this the B'nai B'liyal, and to kill the B'nai B'liyal, to punish them accordingly. And when the B'nai Binyamin didn't hear, so the Shiftei Yisrael went out to Melchama against Shevet Binyamin, and then they were mekabel that none of their daughters are going to marry into Shevet Binyamin. Shenemar, v'ish Yisrael nishpa v'mitzvah leimar, ish mimenu lo yitein bita l'binyamin li'isha. No man from us is going to give his daughter to marry into Shevet Binyamin. My darish, how did they darshan the Pesukim to be matir such an iser? Amarav, mimenu v'lo mibaneinu. They darshan the word mimenu, but it didn't say mibaneinu, that the Shavu was only for them in that generation, not to give their daughters to Shevet Binyamin, but it was not for their future generations where they are allowed to marry Shevet Binyamin. Then the third matter that happened on the third happy thing that happened on Tu B'Av, Am Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan Yom Shekalubo Mesei Midbar. It's the day that those who died in the Midbar stopped dying for the Avon of the Meraglim over the course of 40 years. That they stopped dying on Chamisha Asar Ba'av in that 40th year, and therefore they're Kaveh Yom Tov. Damar Mar, Achlo Kalu Mesei Midbar Lo Hayadibur in Moshe. That until the Mesei Midbar were finished dying, the Shechina wouldn't be with Moshe in that intense, strong form that he was used to. Because it can't mean that the Shechina wasn't with Moshe at all, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu even before, like in the Maisa Korach. So you have to say that it wasn't, as Rashi says over here, b'yichud and b'chiba. That's what it means, right? Rashi writes, lo yadibur Moshe b'yichud u'b'chiba. And he also says, that, right, Rashi goes on, d'chsiv, v'yidabar Hashem elai le'mor, elai nisyach el adibur, v'yafakav d'mekam yach eksivi kraybu v'yidabar, ikadar mi lo ya pe'al pe'el b'chizayin layla. That it must be that up until that point, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the way he would speak to other Nevi'im. Other Nevi'im, you know, there are a number of differences between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and Nevuas Shara Nevi'im. Other Nevi'im had to have their vision of Nevuah b'chizayon laila, in some sort of image in the dream in the night, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu was just able to have an experience of Nevuah even while awake. That's part of the Peh El Peh Adaber Bo. Other Nevi'im saw an image, a picture of and they had to interpret it. Moshe Rabbeinu had Aspaklaria Mi'ira. He got a clarity, a message. He got word for word exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to tell him. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that level of Nevuah for some time, from the time of the Cheder Meraglim until the Mesa Midbar stopped dying. Shemar, because the Pasuk says, Vayikah Shertamu Kol Anshei HaMelchama Lamos, when all the Anshei HaMelchama finished dying, only then, Vayidaber Hashem Elai. Only then was it Elai. Elai Hayah Adibur. Then it was with that sense of Yichud and Chiba, but not prior to that. So since that was the day that the Dibur was with Moshe, they were Koveya it a Yom Tov. Right? Typically when people say this over, when they give the reasons for the Tu B'Av is a happy day, everyone knows one of the reasons is that Kol Bo Meisim Midbar, but people don't say the second half of the sentence. And why is that so happy? So you would think because people aren't dying. No, what makes that so happy is that and now the Shechina was back with Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to realize that level of Nevuah is something that was very beneficial for Kali. So it's the only way we were able to receive Torah, the very concept that Torah is something that cannot be questioned, is only because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to you can't even question a single letter of the Torah, is because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have a Nevuah on such a high level. So Ula Amar, fourth possibility, Yom Shebita Loshea Ben Eila Prosdoyel Shehoshav Yerav Ben Nevat Al Adrachim Shel Yal Yisrael Leregel. It's the day that Hoshea Ben Eila got rid of the guards that used to make sure that Yeravim ben Nevat had stationed to make sure that Klal Yisrael is not Olo L'Regel. That's as it appears in Malachim Aleph. Yeravim ben Nevat was very nervous that everyone's going to be Olo L'Regel and they're going to realize that Rechavim is the real king because he's from the Malchus Beis David. So he set up guards to make sure that no one should be Olo L'Regel, and instead he had alternate forms of worship that they would do with on the Regalim. He set up Egle Azav. So that was a terrible, terrible thing. So it happens to be Hoshea ben Ela was a Rasha. It says he says Le'ezer Shiyur Tzu Yalu. It's just that he wasn't Mashiach like the Malchei Yisrael that were before him. The Pasuk Malachim Bey says Vayasara be'ene Hashem Rak Lo Kamalchei Yisrael Asher Hayu Lefanav. Right, the Pasuk is explicit like that. That he wasn't a good person. He was Osara be'ene Hashem. But everything's relative, not as bad as the malachim that preceded him. So this was a very good, very positive development, a very good thing that he had done by being mevatel these guards. Va'amar and Hoshea ben Ela said that is a shiurtzu yalu that whoever wants can go wherever you want. You can be on the regal, either to be Oved the Egle Azov that Yeravim ben Nevat set up in Beisel and Badon, and or to go to Yerushalayim and do it the right way. So meaning it was freedom of religion. That's all it was. It was just nothing was going to be forced anymore. That you're allowed to do whichever form of worship you wanted to do. Then the fifth thing that happened, Rav Masna Amar Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar L'Kvura. It's the day that the Haruge Beitar, the people that were killed in Beitar, were able to be buried. The Gemara Masechas Gittin in the Chubur Nagarata and Zayin Amar Aleph says Saka Durispak in the Shuk of Merkava Charev Beitar, that the Kesar, the Roman Kesar, came and killed Anashim Nashim V'Taf, and he didn't give them over to Kvura, didn't allow them to be buried for many years, and in happened that their bodies didn't decompose until after they were buried, and that happened on Chamisha Asar Ba'av. So they were koveya that as a Yom Tov that they were finally able to bring them to a proper burial. V'amar Rav Masna, also Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar L'Kvura Tiknu B'Yavna Hatova Metiv. That day that the Haruge Beitar were given over for Kvura, they were Mesakin in Yavna the Bracha of Hatova Metiv within Birch Samazim. It's a Bracha of Shevach that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Hatova. That Hashem has done good that their bodies didn't decompose, and Ametiv that they were now able to be buried. Even though Metiv sounds like it's Metiv la'acherim, normally Metiv means that you're doing good for others. The Karen Ora says that bringing a Beis L'Kavura is a tova for all of the Jewish people. So they were masakin the bracha in such a lashon of that he's meitiv for others as well. So that's a great chesed for all of Klal Yisrael. The Tosas writes, okay, but why in benching? Right. So Tosas says they were masakin in Birch Samazim, not anywhere else, because of the nes was that they were like a geder and a kerem, and they were not they were not masriach. And the zechel nes are masakin the mazon alayayin. So in Birch Samazim, which is done alayayin, meaning they dafka wanted that it should be alayayin as a zechel to the idea that the way they were set up was like a geder on a kerem, like something that protects a vineyard. And then the sixth and final wonderful thing that happened on Chamisha Asar B'Av that we celebrate, Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamri Tarvayu, Yom Shapasku Milich Roseitzim L'Maracha. It's the day they finished chopping the wood that they were going to use for the Maracha on the Mizbeach. And they celebrated on that day because they were Zocha to be Mashlim, this great mitzvah of preparing the wood, and therefore they were Koveya it as a Yom Tov. Ditanya, because as the Brisa tells us, Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer, Mechamisha Asar Ba'av Ve'Eilach, Tashash Kocha Shel Chama, that from the 15th day of Av and on, the sun stops being quite as strong, V'lo Yukor Seneitzim Maracha L'fi Shein Yuvashin, and therefore they would no longer be Kori Seitzim, they would no longer cut the wood to use the Maracha, because the wood wasn't as dry. When the sun is not able to dry out the wood as much, so then the moist wood becomes wormy, and you're not allowed to have any wormy wood for the Atzei Maracha. So they would dafka do it when the wood was most dry in the summertime, but when it's really, really summertime, when the sun is really really strong. Amara, the Rashbam points out that sounds like there's a chisaron in having moist wood, that it's not mala ashan and that it's megadol tala'as. So it's you don't want moist wood for the maracha. So Amara Menashe v'karulei yom tever magal. They would call that day the day that they broke the axe, because he didn't need the axe anymore to chop down the trees. Mikan ve'elach, and then from Chamisha Asar Ba'av and on, where the days started to get shorter, Demosif, someone who's Mosif from Leilos onto days to be Osik B'Torah even at night. So Yosef Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to add more time to his life. Udelo Mosif, and someone who's not Mosif from night on days to be Osik B'Torah, Ye Osif. So he's going to die. What is Ye Osif? My Ye Osif. What does Ye Osif mean? Amar Rav Yosef Tikperei Ime, that his mother should bury him. So not a very nice and pleasant thing to think about. That's the curse that a person is going to have. The Marsha says, why is it Dafka his mother that's going to bury him? He says there's a remiss, which Shlomo Melch says that his mother used to be miyaser him, but that he wasn't also kintorah b'leilos to be mashlim what he missed out on during the day, and that which he wasn't also b'torah in the day, and his mother was not miyaser, and someone who was not also b'torah at night, and his mother did not give him musar and did not try to set him on the right path, so she's going to be the one that's punished to bury him. And Pnei Shlomo says that it says dafka the mother and not the father, because the father has other mitzvot that he's chayiv in, but the ultimate schar of a woman, the Gemara Masechta Sota says, is that she's shomeres her husband and children for Talmud Torah. So if she wasn't careful to make sure that her children are going to learn Torah, so tikbrenu imo, the curse, even though it's a curse for both parents, obviously, that the mother's the one that it's sort of directed at. The Ben Yoyada points out that the Shevach of Nisha, it says, Neshes Chayil, Vatakom Biodaila, Vatitin Taref Lebesa, Vachalkan Aroseha, that women get up often very, very early to be Osik in the Tzorchei Abayis. And this person who saw his mother getting up in the middle of the night to do all of the things that she needs to do, and he didn't learn from her that he should do the same, that he should wake up in the middle of the night and do the things that he needs to do, so this person is not going to be zocha to bury his mother. It's going to be, he's going to die at a young age, and it's going to go the other way around. So it's a little more, I don't know if you can call that a positive spin, but a little more positive in terms of the, from the perspective of the mother, that it's not that the mother had done something wrong, it's that adraba, this person had an opportunity to learn from the mother, and he didn't learn from his mother in terms of her dedication and her hard work. So that's ultimately the most right. That's the someone who never saw any better and never learned anything. So you're not going to hold them to blame as much. But someone who saw people who had such dedication, a lot of times people think when they're in yeshiva, they're not able to wake up early. They're not able to be so diligent, to work so hard. But somehow, when they're an associate in a law firm trying to make their way, all of a sudden they have this hasmada. You know, there's like these 14-hour days, and there's sleepless nights, and where was that asmada when we were learning? So that's a person who's able to see that there's such dedication, has an obligation to learn from such dedication. But be that as it may, what you do see is that there's a specific inyan of Talmud Torah Balelos, particularly in the long winter nights, that for a person to say that no, my Seder Limud is during the day, so in the winter I get an easier schedule because there's not so much daytime. No, so that's when a person has to make up. Adraba, it used to be they would only work during the daytime, so they'd work shorter hours in the winter. If you're working shorter hours during the winter, that opens up more opportunities for Talmud Torah. So a person is supposed to be engaged in Talmud Torah in the nighttime. So then the Gemara explains the Mishnah. We said Sheven Benos Yerushalayim, that the Benos Yerushalayim would go out wearing white borrowed clothing, not to embarrass people who didn't have on their own. So Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us as follows, that even the Nashim Chashuvos would borrow Big Day Lavan. Bas Melech Shoelas mi Bas Kohen Gadol. The Bas Melech would borrow from Bas Kohen Gadol. Bas Kohen Gadol mi Bas Segan. The Bas Kohen Gadol would borrow from the Bas Segan Kohen Gadol. Bas Segan mi Bas Meshuach Mulchama. Meaning each one is going a madriga down. They would borrow clothing from someone who wasn't as fancy as them, who wasn't on such a high level. Their yichus was just a notch below. Bas Meshuach Mulchama mi Bas Kohen Ediot. V'kol Yisrael Shol and Zemizeh, and all of the Yisrael would borrow from each other, even people who had would borrow, conditionally spice, just Misha Ainlo, so as not to embarrass people who happened to not have had. Kala Kalim Tun and Tvila, all the Kalim had to be toveled before they wore them, because not everyone knew what the other person was up to. So maybe the other woman was Anita and she was Tameh, so they had to tovel the Kalim. So Amar Abelazar, not only the Big Day Lavan that one lent to their friend required Tvila, Afilu Mukupol and Munach Mukufsa, even Big Day Lavan that were in the packaging required Tvila. Just not to be not to embarrass those that needed tefillah, they just did tefillah on everything. Benos Yisrael yotzos v'cholos v'kramim. Then the Benos Yisrael would go and dance in circles in the vineyards. Tanam Isha in Loisha nifna l'sham. And any man who was not yet married would go to find his shidduch out there. Miuchasos sheben lo yomrus. So the Mishnah said that the miuchasos among the young women would say bachur v'chulei, right? That they would call out to the bachurim and make their pitch. So Tanam Rabban, the Braisa adds some detail. Yafyefios Shebehen, the most beautiful among them, would say, Mayo you Omros, what would they say when they were dancing in the vineyards? Tenue Nechem Liofi, look at beauty. Sheni Shelo Liofi, that a woman's quality is her beauty. So they would say, meaning they would be Meshabech themselves with what they had. Miuchasu Sheben Mayu Omros, and the women who had the most Yichus, what would they say? Tenue Nechem Lumashpacha, Lefi Sheni Shelo. No, look at the family, because the greatest contribution that a Jewish marriage is going to make is there to be the ability to produce children. So if your children are going to be miyuchasim, everyone's going to want to marry them, and you're going to be able to have a family that's l'shem u'l'teferes. So you should look at the mishpacha. Mechor shemem bayu amros. If a woman was unattractive, what would she say? Take your mekach l'shem shemayim, meaning get married l'shem shemayim, but make sure to give nice jewelry after the wedding. Amar ula bira'a, Amar ablazer, asra kodesh baruch hu lasos mechol tzadikim. Once we're talking about making this circular dance, so kodesh baruch hu is going to make a mechol, a round circle also for the tzadikim lasa davo, v'hu yoshev b'nehen b'gan eden, and he's going to sit among them in Gan Eden, in the middle of this circle. V'kalechon v'echon mara be'etzba'o, and each one is going to point with his finger, as if, you know, to say Za Hashem Kivinu Lo V'Yoshienu, Za Hashem Kivinu Lo Nagil V'Nuschu Mishua Asav, Za meaning is more Be'etzba. So Shanemar Va'amar Bayom Oin Hine Elokeinu Za Kivinu Lo V'Yoshienu, Za Hashem Kivinu Lo Nagila V'Nuschu Mishua Asav, that there'll be more Be'etzba. Tosfos writes over here, Kolech Mara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzba. What are they pointing to? Says they're pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pointing Be'etzba'o, Shanemar Hine Elokeinu Za Kivinu Lo, which is somewhat troubling. Sounds like Hashem has a finger, but again, we always refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those ways. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical, but or has any form. But that's the machal at tzaddikim, that everyone have this ultimate recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they point out that a machal means that everyone has is the same distance, even though you're looking from different points. So all the tzaddikim may have different drachim and avodas Hashem, but they're all at the same distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that circle. Hajim lach b'shalosh prakim, slik la maseches tainus, mazel of everyone on finishing maseches tainus. We'll see you tomorrow.